welcome to Athlete on Fire. You're listening to The Voyage into Hell. I'm here with Steve Segwa, and we are going through his book with the same title, Voyage into Hell, The True Story of a Sailing Rally, Somali Pirates, and the Quest Tragedy. We are going around the world, and we are landing in Sri Lanka today. I can't wait to learn a little bit about this country. I know it's got some physical beauty, and there's some interesting things going on. And just to kind of let you guys know what we're going to be talking about, the chapter, the foreshadowing, it's pretty straight, clear cut today. So we're going to talk about the country. We're going to talk about Steve and Maria's time spent in the country. The rally that he's a part of seems to be falling apart, or at least getting closer to not being as coherent as they once were. And then there's some pirate activity that we're going to learn about. So those are the topics. If you guys are here for the first time, Athlete on Fire is all about bridging the gap between amazing athletes, adventurers, and entrepreneurs, and the rest of us. And today is no different. We're definitely in the adventure and athlete segment of the categories here. You guys can learn more at athleteonfire.com. And if you really like what you're listening to, go get the app on your iOS or Android device. Just type in Athlete on Fire, and we can stream right to you all the time. So Steve is sitting. He was in Martinique last week, was not able to get Skype. They cut off his Skype, and now he's in Dominica, an island that I was telling Steve, I cut an article out because the trails looked really, really pretty. These black sands that led from coast to coast, and he's back online. So Steve, what's it feel like? You feel like you're back in the world again?
Hey, Scott, it does. Yes, we've got communication once again. This is great. I really enjoy this.
I know. So I've been waiting a couple weeks to hear about Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka? Sri Lanka. What is it, potato there? How do you say it?
Yeah, however you want to say it, but it's Sri Lanka. We call it Sri Lanka instead of Ceylon. It used to be called Ceylon, so we call it Sri Lanka.
Oh, yeah, Ceylon. See, yeah, I was looking at that. So you were in Thailand for the new year. We're back in the book here, obviously. You guys are in Thailand for the new year. You got to experience that. It sounded like it was an amazing experience. And then you had to make your way up to Sri Lanka. What was that sail like? How long did it take? Did you guys run into any problems? And then let's talk about Sri Lanka a bit.
Oh. Sure. No, we left Thailand on January 2nd, 2011, and it's a 9-day passage to Sri Lanka. So we leave Thailand, sail to Sri Lanka, and we had horrible weather. There was a low-pressure system that was going to turn into a hurricane, very unusual for that time of year, so we had headwinds most of the way. Aspen, our little sailboat, almost sunk. We had a fitting break on the engine, and I had to try to fix that on the way. That was 3 days out. It was horrible. Nearly lost Aspen. But luckily, my rescue tape, that's what the thing is called, worked, and it sealed the engine, so we were able to use the engine again and make our way to Sri Lanka, a long way away.
What's the mentality when some of these mechanical things or just structural things happen? Are you getting really nervous? Are you scared? Are you, what's the mentality?
Yes, all of the above. Well, what happens, I mean, you're out there on your own. You've got nobody near you, so you're self-sufficient. You have to take care of yourselves. And, you know, if Aspen decides to sink, it's up to us to rescue her. So we had to plug the leak. We had to make sure we were still able to sail in the direction we wanted to and to get to this next harbor safely. So you're totally self-sufficient out there.
So when you're coming through I guess when you from Thailand to Sri Lanka, did you have to go up the Andaman Sea below, was that Myanmar, I guess? Or did you just go straight across?
We went straight across in this case. It's the shortest distance, and they don't like you to stop at the Andaman Islands. You can do it for like one or two of the islands, but they're very highly protected. So you can go there with permission or with a charter group, but we weren't permitted really to go there. So we bypassed those and headed straight to Sri Lanka.
What are the Andaman Islands like? I'm just out of curiosity.
Well, they're very pristine, and that's why they want to keep it that way. The natives are not friendly to outsiders, and so you can have difficulties with the natives there. So the government recommends you don't stop there. But again, there's one or two islands that you can stop, and they're more friendly because they want to preserve their culture. So that's the reason they don't want you to stop there.
Oh, very cool. Okay, so you're landing in Sri Lanka. Where did you guys land physically?
We landed on the south coast. It's a little harbor called Gaul. Now, Gaul, what happens, we actually entered the harbor just after 8 o'clock in the morning, which was a good thing because they have chains across the harbor. They barricade the harbor with massive chains during the night because they just got done with the war with the Tamil Tigers, and that was versus the government forces that just ended. And the harbor had been mined by the Tamil Tigers, and they blew up several warships in there. So they're still treating it as a war zone. However, luckily the war had ended, so we were permitted to go in there. But that was our landing point, was Gaul, Sri Lanka.
Wow, wow. And yeah, for people listening, there are pauses every once in a while when Steve's down in the Caribbean, but it usually clears up on my on post-production. So just giving you guys a heads up, if you hear a couple of things, just bear with us. We have been doing this for about a month or two, so it always ends up pretty decent. Okay, so you're in Gaul. Sri Lanka is kind of post-political and infighting and some crazy stuff going on. What's the government of Sri Lanka? Like, what's the makeup? Being so close to India, like, I don't know a lot of history of the country. Can you give us a little background on it?
Well, sure. Sri Lanka used to be very powerful, and it competed with India. And actually, you have mountaintop palaces here, and they ruled southern India. And then the Indian government, whatever was in place at the time, would attack Sri Lanka and take it over. And it was a back-and-forth seesaw political situation for just forever. And now, of course, it is separate. And the British then took over Sri Lanka and India. So you have the British way of life there now. And you've got, I mean, Sri Lanka is just, now that it's separate, it's on its own. It's got its own government now that the war has ended. You've got tea plantations, British influence. You've got the Hill Club, which is another British institution there. Mountains that are cold. Just incredible stuff. But it's just an amazing island to tour.
What did you guys take in? Like, what was your day-to-day? What are some things that you saw as tourists there?
Well, what we did, of course, we get established in the harbor, and we fix everything on all the boats, and then we took a tour. And this is where Scott and Gene of Quest and also Bob were on our tour with us. So we got to, you know, visit with them more during our – it was a bus tour into the highlands of Sri Lanka. Again, we visited this mountaintop palace where the Lion King lived. You climb up, and you climb to the top of this flat-top butte out in the middle of nowhere, and you visit his palace. I mean, this thing's ancient. And you visited things like that. You got to see the tea plantations where Queen Elizabeth's tea is grown. You get to taste that, and just amazing things. So we took tours while we were on the island, and we just really tried to enjoy ourselves because we knew we had some difficult legs coming up. But being with Scott and Gene and Bob on the bus tour was very cool because, you know, we got to meet Scott and Gene Moore. We didn't know them as well as we did Phyllis and Bob. And they turned out to be very nice people. Okay, so we get a call on board the bus, and this is where Scott learns that Phyllis is going to join Quest as a member of the crew. Phyllis and Bob are going to be together, and Gene and Scott all together on Quest. And this is the first time they've been together as a total crew, and they're going to continue like this all the way to the Mediterranean. This is where Scott got the call, and he was very happy. Everybody shared his joy on board the bus, and it was a great, great day.
Nice, nice. So, out of curiosity, were you running on Sri Lanka?
Oh, my God, I would run. You run in the bush there, and you'd come across elephants. They have an elephant stream there. The elephants bathe in the stream, got the handlers there. But you see elephants in the wild, and you're like, oh, my God, there's elephants here. I'd run to the mountaintop palaces throughout the countryside. Just an enchanting island. I loved it running there.
What kind of gains were you getting like from where you guys were staying to a run that you would do? Was it decent elevation gain?
We were at about 6,500 feet, very cold up there because we're used to the tropics. So we went up there, and I'm sucking air at first. You know, I live at 8,000 feet, but I haven't been at that altitude for a while. So, yeah, very cold. You'd run up. It's steep mountains there. You just plod your way uphill, and the vistas were just great. You look across the countryside, and then, of course, you rip down either trails or roads. Some of them are just, you know, dirt roads.
So I know that the rally was kind of having some tough times in Sri Lanka. So just kind of go over what was going on. What was the dynamic?
Okay, what happened here now, remember Quest was having problems with the group they were in. They were in the biggest boat group because they were one of the biggest boats, second biggest boat. So what happened, and we had a meeting in Sri Lanka with rally management, and they demoted Quest to a different group. Well, that caused a huge uproar. They said no, the participants of the rally could not believe that Quest was thrown out of a group because the other participants did not want them in the group. That was a huge thing. There were fights in front of the I mean, not physical fights, but verbal fights, confrontations with rally management, telling them to explain why they did this. What was the reason? What was the rationale for this? Incredibly tense situation in Sri Lanka.
So did they give a reason?
Well, no. They didn't tell the truth, because what we learned was there were two rally boats that were very influential. They were British, with the rally management. And they convinced rally management to kick Quest out because they said they would quit the rally if Quest was still in their group. And rally management did not want to lose those two boats because they were the biggest ones. They paid the most money. So they didn't want that as an incident. And so they just said, okay, we'll get rid of Quest. So that was the real reason. And everybody else in their new group just said, oh, well, Quest couldn't keep up speed-wise. And Quest was one of the fastest boats in the rally. So that we knew that was a lie. So this is how things progressed at that meeting.
So you basically have some politics going on, and it sounds like a popularity contest, and because a couple people don't like them, and they had money going to the organizers, then they get their way, kind of, pretty much.
Exactly, and then we found out there were also moles and informants in the rally who would tell rally management what was going on. Oh, it's just clandestine, you know, throughout the whole thing. It was just amazing. It was like high school all over again. Really weird.
Did you guys stay out of it as much as you could?
We did, because we, you know, we're an American boat, and again, it was mainly British boats, so we pretty much stayed in the background, and we just listened a lot, and that's why I'm able to put this in the book, because we listened, and we took notes.
Yeah. So everybody's, it's kind of tense, everybody's kind of getting pissy. The rallies definitely doesn't have the same dynamic and excitement. Am I assuming that, like, the energy just wasn't as positive as it was when you guys got started?
Well, it was very much that way. In fact, it became very tense, especially because of the what we had lying ahead of us. We got another set of papers that were extremely confidential, and it was telling us how to transit the pirate areas. We had soft and hard targets. We had to make ourselves hard targets so we wouldn't be attacked. A soft target could be attacked. We had things like this going on. They're telling us how to behave as a sailor. And this is what the rally management said we paid our money for, to get us through this pirate area. So we had to adhere to their guidelines, or bad things can happen.
So what were some of the rules? You disclosed some of them in the book, of course, but...
Mm-hmm. What happens, we had to become, as I said, a hard target. So we would form in groups of six. You have three boats sailing in the front and three in the back, and you had to stay within 100 yards of each other as you're sailing across an ocean. It's very difficult to do, but you had to maintain this because of safety reasons. So we had to do things like that. We couldn't have our radar on. We couldn't make contact on our normal radio. We had to use secret channels. Things like this were very important. We couldn't have anything on our blog about where we were, because pirates look at blogs. So we had to just be as confidential as possible during this transit.
I was reading some of the parts, and it was talking about some statements that no yachts have been attacked during 2010. Then it's talking about the Chandler attack. Do you remember that one?
Oh, sure. The Chandlers, that was a couple that was sailing off the coast of Somalia. They got taken, and they were brought back to, Somalia, where they were kept for a year. The Chandlers then were in captivity for 1 year, and they were finally released after a ransom was paid. This is common. A ransom, Chandlers had to raise over $1 million to get released. Well, the Chandlers, this is a British couple on a small sailboat. They didn't have $1 million, obviously. So suddenly $1 million gets paid to the Somalians, and they're released. Now, the British government does not pay ransom. However, they paid a ransom, and it got them free. So that's how the Chandlers got free.
What's the, I mean, I know ransoms are kind of a hot topic right now, but what's the, is that, I'm trying to think of, like, what is the, you say they don't usually pay it, so what kind of tip the government's paying in that situation, just because they knew that they were going to let them free? I mean, what went down there?
Well, actually, what happens, even with the large cargo ships, you have to pay $20 million to get a cargo ship out. You pay this to the warlord in Somalia, and they're very, I don't want to say honest, but when you pay the money, they release your ship. So if the Chandlers get the ransom money, it's paid to the Somalian warlord who releases the hostages. And this is what they do. They don't want to keep them because it costs them money to keep them, and they don't want another international incident. So they do release paid a ransom.
Is that a track record that they have? Have they ever kept – I mean, what's the longest that they've kept people in captivity? I'm just out of curiosity.
Oh, you're talking about 2 years, up to 2 years at times. And you're constantly under armed guard. You're moved from camp to camp all the time. It's very desperate conditions. All the crew members are separated from each other. It's very, like I said, very poor conditions. The health conditions are horrible in Somalia. So you're moved around a lot, and it's just you don't want to be in Somalia.
What did they eventually kill any of their people in captivity, or was that never really the option for those guys?
No, what they do, normally they do not. However, they will. And you don't hear about this in the press because it's usually people from Bangladesh, the sailors from Bangladesh, they will kill them, or sailors from India. Oh, yes, they torture them and kill them. If not in a ransom and they don't think that the owner of the ship is going to pay a ransom, yeah, they just might kill somebody, and that'll emphasize their point that this is serious and you need to pay the ransom. So, yes, people do get killed.
Man, so I'm thinking here, you're watching this and reading this stuff and hearing this from your crew or your the leaders, so to speak. What are you guys thinking? What are you and Maria thinking about when you're listening to it or watching it? What are you guys talking about when you get back to your boat and you have private time? What was the feeling there?
Well, yeah, it was kind of tense, but what they emphasized to us, Rally Management, they said that what they're going to do, and we had this in guidelines. So I have the folder that they gave me. If you are attacked by a Somali pirate, be friendly to them, because what they're going to do is take you to Somalia and hold you captive for a year. And then after the ransom is paid, you'll be released, so they're not there to harm you. So don't worry. So we said, well, wait a minute. We don't even want to go to Somalia, so let's try to avoid capture as much as we can. But that's the guidelines we were given. And you're like, I don't know if this is going to work. But we weren't really openly discussing it because you don't talk about that. You think it's not going to happen to you. That's the common feeling.
So you're getting your marching orders for your next big trek. And what's the route that you're going to take from Sri Lanka?
Okay, what we decided now, again, the rally is self-destructing here. We've got so much dissent within the rally. And one of the British boats actually was corresponding with a sailing magazine in Great Britain, telling them confidential information. So the rally, it was just breaking up, is disintegrating. So we decided as a group, instead of going to the Maldives, which Rally Management did in the past, we would go to Cochin. And Rally Management actually suggested we go to Cochin, India. We stage there, and when we're in India, we decide what route to take across the rest of the Indian Ocean to avoid the pirates. So that was our next route that we're going to take, is to Cochin, India.
So that's just on the west coast of India?
That's correct. That's on the southwest coast of India. It contains the only marina in India of all places. Yeah.
So you're going to get there and you're going to kind of figure out, okay, what is the best route to get to the Mediterranean?
So we were able to go in there. We would regroup, have more meetings, and we'd watch the pirate activity and see how intense it was getting.
Okay.
That's correct. Yes.
Sorry, there's a little delay there. All right, so you're going there, and you're finishing up in Sri Lanka. You guys are going to make your way up there. I know the next chapter is kind of covering the dark subcontinent of India. We can kind of talk about that for a second. How did you guys leave Quest, like Scott and Debbie and all those guys?
Okay, we left Quest. We always shoot out of the harbor first because Aspen's one of the smaller boats. We have to leave ahead of the rest of them. But Scott, Jean, and Bob were on board Quest, okay, in Sri Lanka. Phyllis couldn't get on the boat because she had got an eye infection sailing from Thailand to Sri Lanka. She's in the hospital. She's going to join the boat in India. So here's Scott, Jean, and Bob on board Quest, and they're talking with the bigger boats in the rally, and there's a lot of fighting going on over the radio because Quest is not happy with them, and the big boats are not happy with Quest, and we can hear this on our radio all the time, and so we were able to hear that, and luckily we were getting out of Sri Lanka before we were involved in that.
Okay, so you're going to talk about the subcontinent of India. What kind of foreshadow? What's that going to cover?
India. Like as you said, the subcontinent is at the base of the Himalayas, home to dreaded port officials because the Brits taught them well. We have the last meeting with rally management in India. This is where the final team assignments are going to be made for the dreaded crossing of the Indian Ocean to Oman. Okay, we're going to go to Oman, and this is where everything occurs, and this is where the pirate activity is emphasized, and we're going to see what's ahead of us.
So just to kind of to recap, you know, we've gone more than halfway across the world. Let's assume that none of the pirate stuff is going to happen. What is the goal? Like, you're sitting here in India, you want to get to the Mediterranean via Oman, correct?
Well, we go by Oman, and then you take a right turn. You go up the Red Sea, and the Red Sea, you go past Egypt, and you're dumped into the Mediterranean, and that's our goal.
Okay, so your goal is to get to the Mediterranean, then continue on and cross the Atlantic eventually here. Okay.
That's correct.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to people who listening to kind of get the big picture again, kind of span out from your Google Maps. If you're doing that, every time I talk to you, Steve, I have my Google map up because I want to make sure my geography's supported a bit.
That's great. You need that. Yeah.
But yeah. So, okay. So we're going to talk about India a little bit. Some of your last plans before you make this, this dreaded and kind of scary trip across the sea there. Right?
Exactly. Yes, that's correct.
The Arabian Sea. Okay.
The Arabian Sea, yes.
Awesome, Steve. Well, thanks so much. I think Sri Lanka and India are definitely just kind of like this launching point. I think you're setting up for what's going to be an interesting trek, and I'm sure a lot of the – like I said, I don't read more than the chapter that we talk about, so I have no idea what to expect, but I think we're going to be spending a lot of time in this Arabian Sea, it seems like. Thank you so much for today. Can't wait to catch up with you next week.
Sounds great, Scott. Appreciate it.
And this is for you guys. Thanks a lot for listening. I hope you guys are enjoying this voyage into hell. It's been a couple weeks since we've connected. Like I said, we had some connection issues down in the Caribbean for Steve, but we should be weekly again unless he runs into some issues. So thanks a lot for listening. AthleteOnFire.com is where you can find everything else. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Athlete on Fire. Stay fired up with additional resources and information at AthleteOnFire.com.